Welcome back to Late Edition Crime Beat Chronicles. I'm Nat Cardona. This is the final installment of our Susan Nagersmith coverage. It's a quick update of where things stand now in this case. And here is Press of Atlantic City reporter Eric Conklin.
Tell me a little bit about just your job at Press of Atlantic City. What's your role there?
Well, overall, I'm technically the digital reporter. I'm also, you know, digital breaking news, I think it would be more appropriate just to say. So, like, I've definitely, I've dived into a lot of different things. I don't really have a particular beat. I mean, I've covered, you know, government things. I've covered, you know, stuff like the Susan Nagersmith case. Other kinds of court things. I've been in federal court. I'm kind of fires, fatal car crashes. You know, I've been kind of like all over the place. So I wouldn't really say that I'm specifically one beat, because like typically I get that. I was like, everybody says like, what's your beat? And I say, I'm kind of all over the place. So, you know, I have a very wide range of, you know, my scope's very wide. So
it's a good repertoire to have, you know, just pull it out.
Sure.
Yeah. As far as the Susan Nagersmith case goes, do you mind just giving a brief overview of what happened at the end of March with Jerry Rosado's case being dismissed?
Yeah, so it's from my understanding, based on what I read, he had appealed, or the defense, rather, I think would be more appropriate to say, had appealed to the appellate courts that there is a set of that the statute of limitations would have limited any kind of like legal proceeding against him. It would have limited it to about 1995. And now it's my also understanding that in New Jersey, under state law, there was a revision from January of 2002. So what he is arguing, or rather what the defense is arguing, is that the amendment does not apply in this case. So because of the fact that the offense was committed in 1990, or rather the alleged offense was committed in 1990, he wouldn't be able to be, basically the charges wouldn't apply because of the statute of limitations has been exceeded. So the appellate courts ruled in favor of the defense and had, I believe, sent the case back to the lower court. And then a superior court judge at that point agreed to release him. So he was, I believe, released either if I can recall correctly, the day after he was, the appellate decision came out. It was either the next day or maybe after that. So I would say within a couple of days at least of that appellate ruling, you know, he had been released from Cape May County Jail. I actually had noticed it. I wasn't really sure if what was going on. I knew there was apparently some sort of conference, and you know, there was essentially no hearing per se, like the traditional, where someone might think that I'm going to go before a judge and then have them hear this case. That wasn't really the case. So what they did is they apparently had this conference. I knew it was going on. And then I was looking at jail records and I noticed that he was no longer listed. And that's when I sent an email out to the jail officials. And I said, can anybody confirm if he's been released or not? And that's when I heard back a little short while ago that, yeah, he was released. So.
And that's that. I believe he was released to a healthcare facility, right?
It's my understanding that he's released to a healthcare facility. You know, it's not completely over yet. So it's what I understand is that the prosecution is planning to appeal to the New Jersey Supreme Court, which would then, you know, my guess, and again, I say this because I'm probably not, you know, I'm not a Dan Abrams from ABC News or anything like that, but my guess would be that it, my thing would be like, if I were thinking about how this could go, you know, it could probably, I really don't know. I mean, it could go either way. They could rule in favor of the prosecution, or they would still agree to what the appellate courts ruled. So that the ruling that he can't be charged for sexual assault of Susan Nagersmith because of the statute of limitations.
Okay, so any murmurs, rumors, whispers of the timeline on that? I mean, because this all went down end of March, what you're referring to is basically going into the first week of April when he would have been released. And now we're in the middle of May, right? So, I mean, is there, as far as the prosecution appealing, have you heard of anything?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. Unfortunately, not. I actually did try to find out an answer to that question today. I actually did reach out to the prosecutor's office. I have not heard back for comment. So I have been trying to follow up just to see what's going on. You know, I've also, you know, I don't really know. Unfortunately, I've not had a chance to really cover something with regards to like a Supreme Court appeal. So I'm not really sure of how long that process could take. I do sometimes check back with the courts online, and I see if there's any like expected decision or anything like that, just to kind of keep tabs on it to see where things are at. But, you know, I think it's also one of those things where just, you know, if you get a chance, if you're working on, you know, other kinds of projects, other kinds of stories, if you get a chance to talk to, if you get it just like a couple minutes, even just to, you know, reach out to the prosecutor and see where things are at, you know, that's definitely, you know, it's the kind of situation where that might be, you know, as a
worthwhile,
reporter, you know, applicable.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
We need to take a quick break, so don't go too far.
Well, at the very least, are there high chances that if things progress and as they progress that you'd be the one covering the stuff, following the stuff, or is it kind of like whoever's up to bat?
I would say who's ever to bat. I mean, actually, I never really expected to cover the Susan Nagersmith story at all. I believe I was sitting at my desk, and I think another news source had, if I can remember correctly, I think that another news source had said that it had broke the story that the appellate courts ruled in favor to drop the charges. And then that's when right away I went to work and I said, you know, I remember sitting in my chair and I turned around and I said, everybody was like, whoa, Jerry Rosado's been, you know, the cases against him have dropped. And I remember, you know, I was asked, you know, we'll go find out what you can. And then I reached out to the courts and they had showed me, here's where you can get the opinions for the appellate court decisions. And then it was the newest one. I found it and I read through it. And I definitely was trying to, obviously, with something that's very sensitive, like this case, be very cautious of, you know, making sure I understood everything. But I read through it. It took me a couple times to read through it just to understand what they were saying. And then basically after a couple times, I got it, you know, it was kind of understandable. They're just basically saying that based off of, you know, the amendment from 2002 in state law, this case doesn't, you know, these amendments don't really apply to this case. And therefore, like, the statute of limitations is exceeded.
Got it. And that's where we're at. As far as you know, as far as I know. Okay.
Yeah, as far as we're at. I wish I could say more. I did try to get some more, but, you know, I mean, obviously intend to see if we could stay on it, because I know that, you know, I know that people definitely are still interested in this story, even though it happened almost 30 years ago. Actually, before I was even born, actually, was when this all happened. So it's been rewarding to actually follow it, because as a person myself, I get to, you know, I've been able to learn about her story. I've been able to learn that there was a Susan Nagersmith. This is what she was like. This is what she enjoyed, you know, and it's obviously a very sad case. And you know, I definitely feel for her family and for anybody in that situation.
And we're going to end on that note, unless you've got something else.
I remember that this story, I think I was working for a different newspaper at the time. I think I was working on my last newspaper job.
Okay.
And I vaguely remember that there was charges that were announced against him. And, you know, I remember that I think some people in the office were saying that, you know, oh, wow, there's been an arrest in the Susan Nagersmith case. I obviously had no idea of this story. And then that was the first I had heard of it. And then, you know, it definitely kind of gave me a feel of like true crime, some of those true crime stories that we always see, you know, on TV. It was just this case that, I remember there's been so many that, you know, have been solved or at least have charges have been brought through the advancement of DNA. I mean, I remember reading the appellate court ruling that apparently he had been this unknown DNA profile was collected at the scene and they couldn't track it until I would say a new laboratory had, you know, it was sent to a different laboratory. It was tested. And then there was a high probability that it was a match to Mr. Rosado. And then I remember reading that according to the appellate court ruling that the prosecutor's office got a warrant for his DNA. They got it and they sent the labs in and they sent it to the lab and sure enough, you know, it was a match. So it's really amazing how technology has evolved with solving crime. We're able to now get these samples identified after so many amount of times. You know, where this case goes, it's such a peculiar case because, again, it is important to note that no one has been charged with her murder. It could go really anywhere, I think. So, but it's been rewarding to at least learn about who Susan Nagersmith was, especially as somebody that had unfortunately died, in a terrible way, you know, quite a few years before I was born. So it's good to learn about people. And that's a rewarding experience about journalism.
Thanks for adding that. That was a beautiful bite.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Yeah.
All right.
This case is pretty nuts just from our research and that kind of thing. It's unfortunately got it all the earmarks of like a perfect true crime story. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too is like, I mean, I've reached out to Emily and I've never heard back from her, but you know, I know that she's been trying to, you know, fight for justice. And I mean, sure, everybody can, you know, think that way and, you know, want to, and it seems like if they're going to go to the Supreme Court, you know, they're not afraid to, you know, back down from a challenge and they're going to obviously fight for justice, and that's what they're supposed to do. So
absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
That is all I have for you for right now. If you like what we do here at Late Edition Crime Beat Chronicles, please be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. See you later.